You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Wednesday, April 11th. The Pirates are 8-2. Yes, that's 8-2. And we've got an urgent news bulletin, Pirates fans. It is Clear the Deck, the midweek edition, featuring Alex Stumpf and myself, Jared Prugar. Alex, happy Wednesday, brother. How are you today?
Oh, it's a glorious Wednesday. How could I not be better?
Yeah, you're right. The Pirates defeated the Chicago Cubs. They outlasted them. Outlasted. It's like the game Survivor. Nova looked pretty good. And then they had a new guy on the mound in Felipe Vasquez. Do you know anything about that guy?
Yeah, I'm going to miss Rivera. I mean, he has big shoes to fill. But, no, apparently this has been something that he's been working on for months, and it was actually completed before the season started. It just seemed like it was the right time for him, according to Liz Bloom, who broke the story for the Post-Gazette.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting read. I read it a couple times just to make sure I was understanding of everything. It seems like his sister is a prominent figure in his life. I don't know very much about the family setup, where he's from, so I can't speak on those terms. However, if you've got a sister like that and a family member like that, then by all means, go for it. It kind of sucks for all those guys who got a Rivera jersey. And I think he might even be potentially changing his number here in the near future, maybe next year. But such is life in the business of sport.
Yeah, and obviously he and his sister are very close. That new deal he signed this offseason, his sister acted as his agent, or he ditched I can't remember who it was. Was it Boris that he kicked to the curb?
I think so.
All right. So, yeah, they're obviously very close. So I guess if she says, hey, I'm doing this, I don't know if she's the older or younger sister. I can't remember right now.
Not sure. However, I will give this quick jersey tidbit. In 2016, I was standing in Dixon Robinson Town Center when I was living in Pittsburgh. Right after the Pirates announced that they got a shipment of the new throwback jerseys in the Yellow Sundays. And I was between Jung Ho Gung and Gregory Polanco. Alex, can you think you can guess who I picked?
I think you picked Jung Ho, didn't you?
I did. And then the next year he changed his number to 17, RIP Pedro Alvarez, former Pirate great, who just hit a walk-off home or a go-ahead home run to win the game against the Yankees last week. Changed his number, and then boom, can't get out of Korea, and is now in the Dominican, probably floating on a raft somewhere. So that's my great jersey story. Believe the hype, don't believe it, don't get a jersey of a current player.
There's plenty of Clemente and Sturgill ones you can still get.
Right. Or Bill Madlock.
Mad Dog.
Or Jason Schmidt.
Nah.
Adam Hayes do.
The curve version.
I'm surprised they actually don't sell that. Maybe I'll talk to Derek Martin, GM of the Curve, and talk to him about that. I'll buy a Hayes do jersey. But let's talk 8-2 Pirates. They didn't play on Monday, which is unfortunate because there was about an inch of snow on the field. Welcome to Chicago in April. But they won today, and it was a different way to lose. You got production from guys that really weren't producing very much, and Francisco Cervelli, and then you've got Marte with a bomb, and then you've still got the consistent performances of Jordy Mercer and Corey Dickerson.
Yeah, I tweeted out not that long ago that you go through the Pirates WRC Plus through the first 10 games, Cervelli is at 107, and he is by far in last place out of the starting eight. So, like, the worst hitter that the Pirates have right now is is still above league average.
Right.
Which is a good problem to have.
Right. And you've got the two new guys. And I know this is just basic average. Colin Moran is hitting .344. And then you've got Corey Dickerson. No, it's Alex Dickerson.
Wait, Corey Dickerson.
Corey Dickerson. Alex Dickerson is a former Pirate great in the farm system at .342. Now, obviously, you don't expect that to last the entire year. But they're off to hot starts, and they're really barreling some balls.
Yeah, that's .344 and .342 or whatever that second average was with power. I mean, right, plenty of extra base power there, too. I mean, I'd like to see maybe Corey be a little more patient at the plate because he looks like Vladimir Guerrero, like, reborn. But they look good. I just wouldn't trust the batter ball play gods that much for Corey. He's got to slump at some point, and whenever he does, it's going to hurt. It's going to stink. But for right now, ride the hot streak. It's a good win over the first really good team that the Pirates have had to play this year.
Right. And now the Cubs are miring it right around .500 on the season. But you're right. It did prove that they can compete, and they're putting up runs in droves, which is impressive to me. And not just that they're putting runs in as much as they can, but they're also having some great situational baseball.
Yeah, and they're going to need those runs because the bullpen, like we touched on last time, it didn't look good. Santana put three runners on and 2/3 of an inning, gave up 2 earned runs, just bleh.
At this point, I put Carlos Santana, the guitarist, out on the mound for relief action rather than our Santana.
Can he play smooth with Rob Thomas?
I hope so. That's one of my old jams. I love it.
That is a jam. That song slaps.
But so that's a small sample size, and luckily they were able to get through with just Santana and Vasquez. So that was a plus for today, but that's not always going to be the case moving forward.
We're going to go a little more forward, I think, right now, because since this is Wednesday and not the Tuesday night that we're recording, today Major League Baseball is going to announce that the Dodgers are going to be hosting the 2020 All-Star Game.
Where are your sources? What are your sources? Any proof?
It's all over Twitter.
Oh, okay. Twitter. Good. You're going to say Wikipedia.
It's Wednesday, so they're going to know this whenever they listen to us.
Perfect. All right, you're good. Go on.
So it's going to be in Dodger Stadium. They always have the All-Star Game announced 3-4 years in advance so the city can get its crap together before, you know, before it eventually runs through. And you have to start wondering how close Pittsburgh is to getting back in that rotation. Because the last time they held it was in 2006, which 14 years into the future have been either played or committed to. Soon, it seems like they're going to be getting ready for another lap. Obviously, there's a couple stadiums that have priority. Atlanta's new stadium, I'm sure, is going to be getting one of the very, very ones in the near future, very near future. Texas is going to be opening up a new ballpark in 2021. If I was a gambling man, I would put money on Philadelphia to get it in 2026 for the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence signing.
You would hope that would be a really cool
That seems like a no-brainer to get right there. So maybe they'll go to the new Yankee Stadium. They haven't been there yet. Maybe if Oakland gets a new stadium between now and 2025, they'll get one of them right there. But after that, it seems like it's almost Pittsburgh's turn again. They're going to be going up with, you know, Busch Stadium, AT&T, Comerica, Minute Maid, Miller, Safeco, maybe Fenway or Coors again. I think Pirates should be, not this year, but in the near future, starting to get, you know, some blueprints together on how they can bring back the All-Star Game in Pittsburgh.
Right. And you see the city hosting all kinds of big-time events since they last hosted this. Pittsburgh can more than handle hosting it. Last year, I mean, obviously, you talk about all those brand new stadiums. Since PNC Park is open, I would imagine, I don't know the numbers right off the top of my head, nor do I really care at the moment, but for the point of this conversation, nearly half, if not three quarters of the teams in the MLB have gotten new stadiums. Heck, even the Penguins have gotten a new stadium since that point in time. And they're across the river. So it's one of those situations where PNC Park should host an All-Star game really soon. Hell, by that time, they might even be the PNC Park might be even old enough to drink. And it's a modern gem for a ballpark. I've been to a few up and down the East Coast and even out in Texas and the Midwest. And the only stadium that rivals PNC Park, and it pains me to say this, and I've only been to a handful, is Busch Stadium, the second.
The second? Not the third one? The one that's out now?
The third one. I thought it was the second. My sources, I got them on Wikipedia. And that was just because I got to go to a game when I was coaching in Indiana that over the summer. I saw a Sunday night game, Cardinals-Dodgers, and I walked up to the stadium, and it's probably the shadiest thing I've ever done. A guy comes up to me, hey, do you want to upgrade your seat for $20? I got my tickets on StubHub, pretty cheap there in the upper deck. He's like, oh, it's in the Coca-Cola party deck. And I was like, okay, cool, $20. He's like, oh, you can eat all you can drink. I said, sign me up. I was only drinking soda anyway because I had to drive back to Indiana that night. And it was about a three-hour trip across time zones and, you know, that sort of thing. And it's right above the batter's eye. And it was really cool because you get to see literally Clayton Kershaw pitching for the Dodgers. So I got to see his curveball break straight on. And I was like, oh, it was beautiful. But like I said, the Pirates, that view, you can't beat it. Pittsburgh baseball is relevant now, more so than it was in 2004, other than the stadium. I think that's what made it relevant back then, and still for a lot of the 2000s. But now you've got a good brand of baseball in Pittsburgh, so drive on that, build on that, and bring an All-Star game back to the Burg, and show the country what Pittsburgh's got that other stadiums don't have.
I agreed with so much of that, except your liking Busch Stadium. I've been there once. I did not care for it at all.
You were in the press box, weren't you?
I wasn't in the press box. This was back in the days where I could just be a flat-out baseball fan.
Oh, and actually experience concessions at stadiums.
Yes, and get some fries from this mythical place at PNC Park that does not exist. No, I went there with my dad in 2014?
Okay.
Sounds about right.
I was there in 2015.
Okay, so basically the same time. It kind of reminds me of like what an old Roman Colosseum would be like, because that place is just jam-packed. Just get as many butts in seats as possible. We don't care about the view.
You sat in the general population, correct? You sat in, in the seats?
General population, yeah.
Okay.
Upper deck.
Right. That's
upper deck. PNC Park views are great not only for the skyline, but because no matter where you sit in the stadium, you could always see the field.
Right. That too. And now, obviously, we had different experiences at Busch Stadium the third. So it's cool to get that kind of feedback because you go to a different game and your experience is going to be completely different from mine. Because like mine, like I said, I was in a batter's eye. I wasn't really around anybody. Like we were spaced out. Special seating, nice little area, like the not Lexus Club nice, but nice enough, suite level kind of thing. So it's cool to talk about that, but also it's cool to get the feedback from somebody that sat in the general population in the stadium seats where you're jammed in like sardines and this, that, and the other thing.
It was awful. You can't see it. You just can't. I couldn't see left field from where I was. Like, the warning track at all, half of, there were times whenever, you know, Matt Holliday's playing no doubles and you can't see him at all.
Well, that was probably because he wasn't in position to catch the ball, but that's Matt Holliday. while we're on the topic, let's talk stadiums. Alex, how many stadiums have you been to?
All right. Off the top of my head, about half-ish, I guess.
Okay. I'm roughly about 10.
I'd list them, but it'd be boring.
I've been to both Yankee stadiums. Nationals Park.
I've been to the other one. Yes.
I've been to Cincinnati twice. Both awful experiences. Watched Pedro throw one in the left field, and then my heater cord blew out in my car. And then another trip, I was watching them play the Cubs. And it was the same summer I went to Busch Stadium. And a buddy of mine got arrested for not having his tickets on him, and they were on his phone, and his phone was dead, and it was a debacle. So I had to stay in downtown Cincinnati overnight. Don't recommend that. Busch Stadium, both Houston and the ballpark in Arlington, which was kind of cool. And then I also caught a New Orleans Zephyrs game, which is not quite nearly as cool as a Curve game or an Indianapolis Indians game. Who both of those fields have beautiful views, and Victory Field and People's Natural Gas Field. But a couple of things. Yankee Stadium was the coolest atmosphere I've ever experienced because I got to see Mariano Rivera pitch. They played the Pirates, I believe it was 2007,
all right, that'd be the old Yankees.
Yes, Stadium. Old Yankee Stadium. Right. New Yankee Stadium, I wasn't sold on, but if there's a team that could pull that off, it was the Yankees. The high ceilings, high concourses, and that sort of thing. But Yankee Stadium was cool because you get to hear Enter Sandman. You're in the bleachers. You're experiencing that. It's a tie game. And I ended up leaving early. I don't like to admit that, but whatever. And then Roger Clemens was making his comeback the next day while we were up there as well. But Houston, other than Yankee Stadium, was a really neat atmosphere because I've never watched a baseball game in air conditioning. It's also really loud in there when the fireworks go off and the train starts moving. But those are my favorite places to go for games. Obviously, Yankee Stadium is now a city park, but whatever.
My favorites. I really like Miller Park. Actually, going there, that was a pretty cool environment, and it's pretty cool seeing Wisconsin. They have humongous parking lots all around there, so people would just tear tailgates because apparently they really like sausages and cheese up in Milwaukee. And beer, yeah. They like those three things. I haven't been to the new Wrigley or, you know, the renovated Wrigley. My last time there was the year before they started the renovations, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful, even with the Wrigley trough, which is disgusting. Besides that, I mean, most of the ones I've been to, I had a positive experience at. The only ones I've been to that I didn't like would be, like, Busch Stadium. Nationals Park was pretty lifeless and boring.
Yeah, it was kind of bland there.
Yeah. Camden kind of didn't live up to the hype.
Camden was cool for me. I saw the Yankees play. I'm a Yankees fan. So hold that against me if you want. I like Derek Jeter and I like the Core Four, so I fell in love with the prospects, not the buying of A-Rod, which I think was the most asinine contract I've ever experienced, but whatever. But Camden was cool. That was before they built out up the area in right near the ballpark with the hotels and stuff like that. So back then it was just only the warehouse, which was fairly cool.
Yeah, I would have liked to see the warehouse. I went for the first time like 2 years ago, so it was pretty corporate by then.
Yeah, and this was pre-corporate Camden. But no, bringing an All-Star game back to Pittsburgh and back to the Steel City would be great. I think you get to model that stadium for strutted stuff, maybe for the 20th anniversary. That would be, what, 2022?
2021. So, and this is for 2020, so they're not going to pull that off.
Right. So you pull it, you bring it in and show off your diamond in the rough, and because if you go on the other side of the neighborhood on the North Shore, that's not the greatest. But hey, the ballpark itself and down in the stadium district are great. So there's plenty of stuff to do, and it's even more built up than when they had it in 2004. So
yeah. So 2006.
Either way, dates are dates, Alex.
Well, I gotta get the correct ones out there.
I'm glad you're here to be my proofreader and paraphraser. You help me with numbers. Foolish. I'll help you with words.
Okay, prognostication. I finally got it.
There you go. I'm sure you recited that millions of times over the last few
years. I actually have. I had to make sure, like, I didn't fry a brain cell.
I'm glad. But we don't want to take up too much time here on your Wednesday commute to work. So, Alex, what else do you have on your mind leading into the rest of the week and the weekend?
3-2. The rest of the week, and I get a curve burger out of the deal, so I feel pretty good about that.
I have 5-1, right?
Yep.
So the odds are stacked slightly against me. Just going to need some productivity out of that bullpen and the offense. The starting pitching has been solid, I think. Good start from Nova today. He went 7?
7-3, yep.
So
he left a couple pitches right over the middle that the Cubs looked at for whatever reason. But, yeah, results-wise.
Javi Baez smoked one down the middle.
Yeah.
But, alas, he only gave up 3 runs, so that's a plus. That's an improvement. Not the greatest of weather either in the Windy City, obviously, ever. But it's good to go and get one from the from the Cubs. And now you hope that you carry that into next week. Or next game. I'm all over the place, Alex. This is what happens when we have to break news and talk about name changes. I'm all over the place today.
Pinch hit for Jason.
That's right. Hijacked the Wednesday time slot. So it is what it is. But yeah, let's hope for the best the rest of the series and then go definitely win some down in Miami. I'm just going to take a look here. See where they're at. Where the Marlins are. Give me a second here, Alex. I apologize for holding you up. But
no, you're not holding me up. You're holding everyone else up.
Oh, good. They won against the Phillies on Sunday. They lost to the Mets. The amazing Mets are back. They've only got one loss this season going into tonight. But they've lost. They lost to Boston 7-3. They got whooped by Chicago 6-0, lost to Boston 4-2, lost to Philly 5-0, Philly 20-1, and then they took game 3 in Philly 6-3. But the good news is this is not their home opener, so we're done with Pirates and home openers. It's third and final.
No. Pirates were 3-0 in home openers. They need more. They need home openers in, like, August.
That'd be home closers in September. But let's go take some let's see what the rotation is for down there.
It's got to be Cool, Nova, and – no, Cool, Tyon, and Nova.
Good.
I got you.
We got Peters throwing for Miami, whoever that is. T. Richards, I'm just looking at back. And
whoever that is.
And Urena, who's got a no one, who's whoever that is. That name doesn't sound appropriate for radio. But hey, you know what? Go take some, win some ball games, get me some crab fries and Manny's barbecue so that I can work on my summer body, and then we'll be good. Does that sound like a plan to you, Alex? I know you're really crazy.
Crab fries don't exist.
Listen, I know they existed 2 years ago when I was at the ballpark. Because I remember vividly having them in my mouth and on my fingers because of the
seasoning. Sure.
So we'll see. But with that, this has been a special episode of Clear the Deck on Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. For Alex Stumpf, this has been Jared Prugar. Have yourselves a happy hump day.